Our sermon reading this morning is a poem by Mary Oliver. Some of you know that Mary Oliver died recently. She has been called by some the unofficial poet laureate of Unitarian Universalism because we quote her so often in our services and in our community life. Mary Oliver writes, "There are moments that cry out to be fulfilled, like telling someone you love them, or giving your money away, all of it. Your heart is beating, isn't it? You're not in chains, are you? There is nothing more pathetic than caution when headlong might save a life, even possibly your own." The words of Mary Oliver. In 1995, the activist and fundraiser Lynn Twist answered an invitation from the Aquar tribe in Ecuador. Along with 11 others, she traveled to the Amazon jungle, which she describes as the heart of everywhere. There, in the remote and biodiverse rainforest, she met with the Aquar tribe. They had invited Twist because overconsumption was threatening the rainforest and their way of life. The Aquar people were explicit in their invitation. If Twist's reason for coming was to help them, then they told her that she shouldn't bother to come. But if she recognized that her own liberation was bound up together with theirs, then she was welcome. She did believe this. She believed her liberation and theirs were bound together. And so she went. She went, and then when it was time to leave, the Aquar people had something to ask of her, some wisdom to send her home with. They asked her to return home and to change the dream of the modern world. To change the dream of the modern world. There, in a remote rainforest, the Aquar people saw clearly the threat to existence. Not only was modern life threatening the existence of indigenous people in biodiverse ecosystems, but it was also a danger to all existence. Overconsumption threatens everyone's opportunities for joyful, meaningful lives rooted in conscious choices and extravagant hearts. The indigenous tribe could see clearly what modern culture so often cannot see. The modern world worships more. Worships having and getting more. Always more. Fulfilling needs is not enough. Wanting consumes us. To forge a new dream would be to awaken from the trance of such insatiable desire. Instead of being caught in the cycle of wanting more, our lives would be dedicated to something larger than ourselves, to a big and meaningful goal. Lynn Twist explores this idea of being committed to a larger purpose and to living a committed life. According to Twist, a fundamental attitude that informs such a life is the exquisite experience of enough. Isn't that a lovely phrase? The exquisite experience of enough. It is hard to devote ourselves fully to a large and glorious purpose as long as we experience ourselves as lacking. As long as we see ourselves in our lives as lacking or insufficient, the committed life will remain elusive. Twist says, we live in the fulcrum, at the heart of a turning tide. It's a thrill, a privilege, she says. It's such an honor to be alive at a time of such monumental crisis, such profound crisis, such earth-shaking crisis that shakes the very foundation of our thinking. And when the foundation of our thinking is shaken and questioned, we actually then, rather than looking at the unanswered questions, have to look at the unquestioned answers of our time. To give you a clear sense of context, she said these words a decade ago, in 2009. The sense that we are alive at a time of monumental crisis, unfortunately, still holds true, perhaps feels truer to us than ever. The monumental impact of climate change, the ongoing degradation of the environment, the threats to democracy, systemic oppression and racism, and xenophobia are among the crowd of crises looming today. The idea of needing to be shaken so that we look at unconscious and unexamined assumptions still also holds true. Those assumptions hold us hostage. They hinder the experience we might have of sufficiency, of courage and determination. They can hold us back as individuals and as a community from putting ourselves all in to making a difference. These assumptions include thoughts like having more is better, there's not enough to go around, people are selfish and greedy, and money is the root of all evil. The sense that we have of sufficiency and insufficiency runs deep in us. It runs deep in the human soul. Feelings of sufficiency and insufficiency impact how we relate to money and to our lives. While the experience of having or not having enough is often confused with how much money a person has, sufficiency is not about financial wealth. Right? You with me? A soulful relationship with money liberates us from this confusion. The indigenous people of the rainforest were not wealthy by society's standards. Far from it. Yet they had the experience of sufficiency. They had lives of rich purpose and deep wisdom, soulful lives. A new dream would challenge the ideas of not having enough, of deprivation, of fear, of avoidance, and stinginess. A new dream would challenge unhealthy relationships with money. The problem is that those attitudes get in the way of living fully committed lives and honoring moments that cry out to be fulfilled. When those attitudes get questioned, a new spiritual relationship with money can begin to flourish. The crises that call out to us in our time can then begin to be answered. In her poem, Moments, Mary Oliver writes, "There are moments that cry out to be fulfilled, like telling someone you love them, or giving your money away, all of it. There is nothing," she says, "more pathetic than caution, when headlong might save a life, even possibly your own." To respond to the moments that cry out to be fulfilled is to throw caution to the wind. Throwing ourselves headlong into what we value most might save a life, even our own. Some moments cry out for us to share our love and to give our money away, all of it. This religious community does not ask you to give all of your money away. I actually think that Mary Oliver was using a bit of hyperbole here, as poets often do, as a way to capture our attention. She did know what it meant to give her money away. In her own life, she gave up opportunities to earn more money in favor of having more time to devote to writing poetry, to her vocation, to her calling. And that choice paid off for everyone. The point here is for us to learn to live from that sense of sufficiency and commitment to a larger purpose. This community asks you to make the choice to give of yourself and to give your financial resources in service of love and justice. We ask you to give generously in support of the collective dream of our liberal religion. That collective dream is expressed through our Unitarian Universalist values. Our principles point to commitments to something greater than ourselves. These commitments include promoting the worth and dignity of all people, to working for equity and justice for everyone, to cultivating world peace, and to respecting interdependence of all creation. These values are expressed through our volunteer service, through compassionate interactions, through social justice efforts, through acts of kindness, through our embrace of beauty and creativity, and through generosity. We make these commitments because we know that our Unitarian Universalist values save lives, save the planet, save us, can save the people sitting here, and save the people in our neighborhoods and in our world, can save rainforests. I grew up in a family without any extras. My parents were always saving and scrimping to make ends meet. And when I wanted to have things other kids had, my dad didn't say, "We can't afford that." What he said was, "Why do you want to be like all the other kids?" Anybody else have parents that said that to them? I don't know. I think mine were a little unique in that. Well, as young people, of course, that urge to fit in, to have what other kids have, is so real. It's real when we're not kids, too, isn't it? I still carry my father's words around with me. I'm not as good at not wanting what others have as he was. When I find myself getting caught up in wanting things because everyone else seems to have them, I can hear him. I can hear him saying, "Why do you want to be like everyone else?" It wasn't until I was a teenager that I realized that I was asking for things my parents could ill afford. The truth is, I wasn't lacking in my childhood. I had food, I had shelter, I had a public education, I had love. My parents focused on what it means to be a good person. For them, that meant honesty, learning, generosity, beauty, simplicity, family, being informed and engaged citizens, and religious belief. I'm grateful for those early lessons. I learned what it means to value the exquisite experience of enough. I learned to measure my life not by my bank account, but by my hopes and dreams for what the world might be and my commitment to throwing myself headlong into saving lives. This is why I was called to be a poet, why I was called to be a Unitarian Universalist, why I was called to be a minister, and why I am called to give generously to our Unitarian Universalist faith, to this church. George Bernard Shaw says, "This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community," he says, "and as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle for me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations." May we each embrace the power to be a force of nature. May we give our lives and our financial resources to a mighty purpose. May we live so that our lives will be splendid torches that ensure a bright and blessed legacy for this religious community and for this world of ours. For truly, our liberation is linked to the liberation of all life. May it be so. Amen. Blessed be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.